I am very excited this morning to be sharing this message and just having spent time this morning talking about the things of the Lord. And as everyone shares a testimony or information that they received or a thought or reading, something out of Jesus' calling, how it all begins to knit together. And so we've been talking about God's lawn or God's garden, the garden, and how everything this morning was really tying together with that about farming, right? And so last week we talked about the bee a little bit and looked to the bee, and or 2 weeks ago, and then fellowship last week, and we likened the fellowship with a bee. And so I want to pick that up because I dropped off last week how important it was to have fellowship, because that's where the cross-pollination happens. The bee is carrying something, right? And I'm going to get into it. It picks stuff up from the flower that it was on before. Then it goes to the next flower. And the interesting thing about that God designed these bees not to go from a poppy to a dandelion to a carnation. He designed the bees so that they go from poppy to poppy to poppy. And how many know the scripture in Genesis? Things shall reproduce after their kind. And so the bees go from poppy to poppy to poppy because they're cross-pollinating so that these things can be fertilized and they can reproduce after their kind. And so how important it was to have fellowship. Because how many believe that you have something? And what good would it be if you were isolated by yourself with the things that you have? Fellowship is a key ingredient because you bring something to the table. You bring something that the other person needs, and I need something that you have. So that's where we left off from last week. But I wanted to talk about this week, what is the pollen? What is the pollen? What is the thing that you are carrying? All right? So pollen is a substance from the male part of the flower that can unite with the female cells, resulting in fertilization. Okay? So if a flower doesn't have this pollination, fertilization, it can't reproduce. Goodness. It looks good up here, but it doesn't on my screen, so I'm going to have to read up the screen. So what is fertilization? You all know that I love definitions. We talk words all the time. That's a primary way of communication for us in the United States of America. And I believe a lot of the times I speak and I don't even know what I'm talking. I'm using words. How many use the word incredible? That's incredible. I don't use that word anymore. If you look it up in the dictionary, how about fantastic? Have you ever called the things of God incredible? You know what that's saying? It's not credible. You can't stand on that. Fantastic. Look these words up. It's really causing me to examine what I'm saying, and I think we'll understand more as we go. So to fertilize, it's a verb to cause an egg, a female animal, or a plant to develop a new individual. To fertilize. So pollination is required for fertilization. Okay? And then I have the scripture, and this is a real theme for this whole Spring Forth conference, in my opinion. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Okay? Fertilization is required for what? A new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. How many believe that God is about to do a new thing? He wants to do a new thing, but what I'm understanding, what I believe the Spirit is speaking about, in order for a new thing to spring forth, there needs to be pollination and fertilization. Okay? And then also we have the second part of fertilize is to make more fertile or productive, to make more productive by adding suitable substances to it. All right? So what makes something more productive? Just consider that, all right, as we're going. What is it that God wants to do a new thing? In order for there to be a new thing, there needs to be pollination and fertilization. All right. Are you excited now?
Yes.
Come on. Here we go. Last week I showed this picture of the bee. And I just love this picture of a bee because typically when you see a honeybee, you just see these little luggage cases on their back legs where they carry the pollen. But this bee I liken to Joshua. This bee looked like he just got out of the Holy of Holies. He's covered from head to toe with pollen. I mean, every whisker on this bee is covered. So we're just going to continue to look at the bee this week because we want to know, what is it? What's the pollen? We're understanding that pollen is important for fertilization and for reproduction and for the new thing of God to be birthed. But what is it? What is it that we are carrying? We know it's important to be carriers, right? But what is it that we are to carry? So, kingdom pollen. What we want to cause something new to be produced for the kingdom. We want to help things become more productive. So we want new things, and we want things to be more productive, the things that God has already established. So how do we do this? Super important. We need to be Spirit-filled. We talked a couple weeks ago about the pollen. We talked about the bee has an electrostatic charge that causes little pollen off the flower to cling to it. Did you know that? The bee has an electrostatic charge that causes the pollen to stick to its whiskers. Isn't that awesome? And we talked a couple weeks ago about how the inner man, and I think we talked about last time you were here, attraction, the law of attraction. This bee is attracting the pollen, the thing that it needs to carry out the Father's plan. Now, we also talked about how the inner man attracts the things of the kingdom, and we talked about how the outer man attracts the things of the world. And it's vitally important that we realize that we're not going to carry the things of the world, attract the things of the world and carry them, and then intermingle. Because when I'm picking up things of the world and then I have fellowship with you, what's going to happen? It's going to be something, a problem. You might not have a problem before, and all of a sudden you're just like, what is this? Why am I struggling with this? Right? But if we're all good at repelling the things of the world and we're all good at attracting the things of the kingdom, then I can feel confident. Because remember we talked about how important fellowship is and that you cannot have fellowship with people of the world. It's impossible because it's of a spiritual nature. Right? So the only way to have true fellowship is in the Spirit. And so here we are. We're attracting the things of God. So we talked about how to attract pollen of the kingdom. It's spending time in the Holy of Holies. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in worship, right? You're going to pick things up when you are in worship, aren't you? How many had a good time in worship today and you feel like you attracted something from heaven? You feel like something from heaven clinged on to you. There's an electrostatic charge and you just want to grab onto it. So we count that vitally important, okay? So here's an example. In order for us to bring something of the kingdom that will birth something new, we need to be making sure that it's of the Spirit. It's the only way the thing that God... Because how many believe that there are ministries all over the world today that want to birth a new thing that has nothing to do with God? Right? They're birthing ministries. They're reaching. They're doing this and they're doing that. They're clothing the naked, we talked about it. They're feeding the hungry. They're doing all kinds of things. But the one thing that Jesus never says, depart from me, for I never knew you, is the whole have fellowship with one another, love one another. If we are loving one another when we meet our Maker face to face, we're not going to hear those words. But you can be doing all kinds of things and hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. So what we need to do to birth the kingdom... Giving someone a word can be depositing a piece of pollen that will produce something new or cause something to be more productive. Have you ever heard that term? I have a word for you. I want to share a word. I say it when I believe I have a word or a message from this morning. How many believe that that when you receive something from God and you share it, that is pollen that's going? If you're hungry... Jesus came to a town, and how many believe that Jesus was the first worker bee on earth? He came from heaven, and he had all this pollen from heaven. And he walked into this town, and you know what the town said? Go away from here. You're messing up our economy. You're messing up our status quo. We like our village the way it is. Go away from here. And so here's Jesus, covered with the pollen of heaven, just wanting to loose it, wanting to share it, wanting to give it. And they said, go away. So they weren't good receivers. But we are people like the honeybee that wants the good pollen. We're hungry. We have an electrostatic charge that's saying, Father, I want your things. So when Jesus comes to our town, there's an attraction. And Jesus is going to come by you, and he's going to rub up against your shoulder, and you're going to get kingdom pollen all over your shoulder. But it's for a reason, isn't it? It's for a reason. It's so that you can share it. All right? And so in the original language, a word, share a word, there's a logos, which is logical. It's something that you would use in a court of law. It's logic. And oftentimes it's the written word. You know what I mean? But this, I want to focus on this other definition. It's in the Greek. It's called rhema. And it literally means an utterance. All right? And there's a difference, because have you ever had someone come up to you and they quote out of the Bible from you? They quote out of the Bible to you, excuse me, and it was nothing. It was like, man, thanks. You know what I mean? Just because it's a written word doesn't make it a rhema word. It doesn't make it an utterance from the kingdom. It doesn't make it something that's going to birth something new in you, or it's going to cause something in you to be more productive. Just because someone reads a scripture to you. Scriptures, though, I'm not taking anything away from the Word of God, the scriptures, the written Word of God. But what I'm talking to you about, something that's going to birth something in you or somebody else, is a rhema word. Okay? So that's what I want to look at. There's many facets of the pollen. How many believe that Dion brought pollen to us this morning? She was a carrier. How many believe when Pat was playing her violin, it brought pollen to you? Or Lisa singing a song, or everybody who was worshiping singing. How many believe that they carried the pollen from the kingdom? Hallelujah. Is it possible that somebody could carry pollen on a drumstick? I don't know. You're throwing all kinds of pollen around over there. Those sticks were flying. That was awesome. But I want to focus on just one facet, the spoken word, the utterance, okay? So let's look at that for a couple minutes, and then we're going to move into the lab. All right, bringing a rhema word. Here I have an example. It's a scripture in 1 Samuel, in chapter 16. But in the beginning, Samuel the prophet is going to hear from God. Now in verse 1 it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel," how are you going to get a rhema word? The Lord said. That's a rhema word. The Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? So on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And then in the end of verse 1, it said, I am sending you. Now, can you see Samuel? He just heard from God. He just picked up some pollen from heaven, and he's got his two suitcases full of kingdom pollen, and he's going on a mission. He's going on a mission to anoint a new king. And so you read the whole story of how the prophet, and please go ahead and read 1 Samuel on your own time, how the prophet went about caring, because there's one thing, it's not easy to deliver an utterance. It's not easy to deliver a piece of pollen from the kingdom and make sure that it's going to reproduce and birth kingdom things. It's very easy to go and do all kinds of things in the flesh and do this and do that. That's easy. But to bring forth an utterance, somebody just shared something that said, I can't remember what it was. It took 28 years for the thing to be birthed. 28 years before they got to say something or to write a book. Oh, I was writing a book. 28 years they held on to that piece of kingdom pollen until the Lord released it. Because there's a time. We're carriers of the things of the kingdom. But it's not up to us to determine for when they are to be released. It's up to the Father. He's saying, here, hold on to this. Remember the apostle said, I'm an earthen vessel, but in me is a treasure. I have something of great value. These are kingdom treasures. You get to carry around things of the kingdom. You ever see those movies where the guy has a briefcase with a handcuff on it? Because it's so precious, he can't lose it. You and I have something so precious in us. It's of such great value. It far surpasses all the gold in Fort Knox. We carry something of eternal value with us every day. Kingdom things. And so this prophet goes and he's carrying the kingdom things. And he's looking for this pollen to be released. The kingdom to be released. And so in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Who's that he's talking about? King David. Or yet to be, about to be King David. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. How many believe when someone receives a piece of pollen from you that's a rhema word, that's an utterance from God, it will change their life forever? This is a powerful thing. If we will get a hold of the idea that we have a treasure, and it's in this earthen vessel, it's of great value, and we get to go around by the instruction of God and share it with other people, and you have the opportunity to change lives. I want you to know when Jesus anointed somebody's eyes that couldn't see and they were open, that person's life was changed. When the woman who had an issue of blood, she'd spent all her money on doctors, she had a medical issue, nothing was changed in her life, and she went and she touched Jesus. She got some kingdom pollen on her, and her life was changed forever. What a precious thing that Jesus is sharing with us, this opportunity. All right, the pollen. The thing that we carry to help something to be birthed or to become more productive comes from God. The rhema comes from God. You cannot manufacture it. It's not fortune telling. It's not observation. I suspect that Judy's favorite color is turquoise. Okay. You know what I mean? You're not doing this rationalization and deductive reasoning. An utterance comes from your Father. Let me give you an example. I had this wonderful opportunity to share my testimony yesterday at a Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast. And a gentleman came up and he was having difficulties. There was two other guys with me who were praying for people. And the Lord gave me this thought. It's like, lay hands on his eyes and pray for his eyes. And he's talking about his son. He's talking about all these. He's got prayer requests a mile long, talking about all kinds of things. And so at the end of all the conversation and the prayer, I asked, can I lay my hands on your eyes and pray for you? And he said, yes. He thought it was weird because this has nothing to do with my son, but okay. And so I laid my hands on his eyes and said, Father, please direct where he's looking and so on. I said a prayer. Later on, the leader of the assembly that morning came over to me and he said, you have no idea what you just prayed. I've been working with this guy for years and he has trouble with what he's looking at. So an utterance, it comes from God. You can't manufacture it. It wasn't deductive reasoning or you can't manufacture it. It comes from the Lord. It comes from your communion with the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about spend time with Him. That's why we talk about get to know His voice. Listen to Him. Understand His voice. Hear His voice. Right? Because otherwise you're going to have an opportunity to pray for someone and you have no relationship with the Holy Spirit and you're going to look at Him and say, you know, I perceive you need to drop 50 pounds. So, Lord, help him with addiction, a food addiction, blah, blah, blah. It's all the natural. Natural things don't produce things of the kingdom. Nothing from the heart of God is going to be birthed out of the natural man. So we are on this, we're endeavoring to be available to God to have things birthed of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right. So here's an example now. Now the question, do you need to be a prophet to give an utterance? Samuel did it. He went, he anointed someone with oil, and David's life was changed forever. Do you need to be a prophet? Do you need to be a pastor? Do you need to be some superhuman, super Christian guy or gal to give an utterance? All right, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we're understanding where the utterance comes from. We're understanding this is from God. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Listen, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the prophet. It's given to the special person. Is that what it says? No, it says to each one. How many believe that Cyrus has the ability to manifest the Spirit of God? Oh, he's too young for that. To bring forth, to allow the Holy Spirit to show himself strong. Hallelujah. How about Dion? Or Mike? Anybody? It says to each one, the Holy Spirit's given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So what we're looking at, when I read that, I just see a little clump of pollen. A little cluster of pollen in a word of knowledge. A little cluster of pollen in the word of wisdom. A cluster of pollen for the gift of faith or healing. How many believe that when you lay hands on someone, you're sharing the kingdom? Hallelujah. The kingdom is released into them. Something's birthed. Working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay? So we are earthen vessels, but we carry something of tremendous value. Remember, we're carrying something of eternal value. Eternal value. There are some very precious things on this earth, and people do some pretty wild things to obtain and to gain precious things. They're of great value. And I'm not making light of that. But how valuable is family? It's of great value. How valuable is your home? How valuable, I don't know, you list it. What's valuable to you? You know, what's valuable to me might not be valuable to you. But how many of those translate into eternity? Amen? I think that as we value something, as we treasure, it's where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? As we put it in its rightful place. Allow it to be magnified. Do you have anything of value? You know, one of these, my ring is of value to me. I don't wear it to work. Lisa and I went shopping, right? And we got this thing, and I think it's a piece of art. I love it. It's of great value to me. And so I don't wear it to work because I work with rocks and dirt. And I put it in a little case every day before I go to work because I don't want it to get scratched. What do I do for terrestrial things? What do I do for things while I'm on this earth? Do we understand what eternal value is? Do we understand eternity? Do we understand? I think we have a difficult time comprehending this idea of eternity. And that something that you will do today may affect eternity. We're very temporal minded. We're very terrestrial minded. You know what I mean? If I do this now, in 50 years this, or if I do this now, you follow what I'm saying? We're focused on that. But I think we struggle with the idea of affecting eternity. I think we focus a lot on, you know, this 100-year bubble that we're in. But I am trusting the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes, to really bring us to this understanding that we are carrying something that will affect someone's eternity. It's going to affect their now, hallelujah, but their eternity, eternal value. Okay, so here's a couple scriptures. First Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. So the apostle's saying, you're doing a good job at this, but remember, your words, we're speaking about speaking gifts, gifts of prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the speaking gifts we're looking at, the utterance, the rhema we're looking at. Consider what you're saying. Consider your words. When you walk up to someone, do you realize your words are like pollen that will either reproduce the world or reproduce the kingdom? Do you want to be, in other words, are you valuing, this is of eternal value. We just don't think. We talk and we go into the community, we do this, that, and the other thing. And words are coming out. Do we realize that your words carry something of significant value that can affect eternity? God spoke. There's power in our words. There's power in our utterance. Be conscious of what you're saying. Be intentional about it, because it's like God just gave you this tremendous resource. It's called a sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful thing. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, for out of the abundance of your heart your mouth will speak. Hallelujah. A rhema, an utterance. Reproduce the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a cool thing, isn't it? We have the power with utterance to bring the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. These are all gifts. They're tools that God has given us to bring the kingdom. Not only did he say, pray this, but here, you are the solution. You can do this. This is fun. This is great news that we get to be worker bees for God. Okay? We are the worker bees for God. We carry pollen. So what is pollen? We talked about the utterance. We talked about the rhema of word. That's one type of pollen, isn't it? But it's basically the life and love of Jesus. When you're playing your instrument and it's the release. That's why, Pat, I'm talking to you so much about the release of the Spirit when you play your instrument. That's not because I enjoy hearing you play, but it's because you are releasing the kingdom on earth. Your prayer in 1983 was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on Fisher's Island. Lord, I claim Fisher's Island for you. Amen? 1983? Now you are here. You're being planted here, and God is calling you to release the Spirit. And one of the ways you can do that is playing your instrument in the Spirit. Speaking. Whoever's here is an answer to prayer to bring the kingdom of God to Fisher's Island through a release of the Spirit. So it's the life and love of Jesus, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's speaking, whether it's laying hands on someone, whether whatever, you talk to God about it. How can I share the kingdom? What are my gifts? That's why we talked about our gifts and our talents so much. Okay, we don't want to just understand ourselves, but we want to know, what's it for? I'm a tool in God's hand. Am I available? How do we get it? Hanging around God. You got to be in the petals. You got to be where God is. God is the big giant flower, and you got to be in the middle of the flower. Amen? You got to be there. You got to be rubbing up with God to get the pollen on you to bring it. That's how we get it. Where do we carry it? We share it with whomsoever God wants us to through fellowship and being sent on special assignments. This can be tough. If somebody that you don't like, Somebody that bothers you, somebody who hurt you. It can be tough if God asks you to carry the kingdom or carry some kingdom pollen to that person. He's like, yeah, forget that. Forget about that. I'm not rubbing up against that shoulder to shoulder with that person. They hurt me. They did this. They did that. That's why forgiveness. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because if we're holding these things between us, then there's no way we're going to have the fellowship so that the kingdom can be translated. The devil's assignment is against the kingdom. The devil's assignment is against our having fellowship because he doesn't want there to be a birthing of a new thing. He wants to stay in a rut of the 1970s, you know, singing Hosanna songs. Nothing wrong with Hosanna songs, I'm just saying. He wants us to stay in the old. He doesn't want a new thing. That's what I shared yesterday. He doesn't even care if you're born again. As long as your light is under a bushel basket. He can't quench the light. He can't put it out. He can't take it away. But he can make sure that that light is under a bushel basket. Because we're so outer man dominated that it's never released. So, get over it. You're not your own. You are God's. God purchased you with a precious price. And if he chooses to send you across the street to that person who's so annoying, starting their Harley Davidson up at 2 in the morning, and if he talks to you about bringing the pollen over there, then we do that. Hallelujah. We are obedient. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to carry special gifts to others this week? Think of all the ways you can bring the kingdom. God is looking to send someone in Isaiah 6:8. God says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And this prophet said, here am I. Send me. Are you there? Are you in a position where you will say, here am I? Will you raise your hand? Do you realize that God wants to send his worker bees out all over the world? And I believe that he must be heartbroken at times because he's invested so much in the worker bees and they're so tied up in this world. They're carrying a precious cargo. They carry the answer. But they're so tied up with this world that they can't be sent. Nobody will say, here am I. It's like, yeah, I'd like to, but I kind of got this scheduled thing and I got the, you know what I mean? Or I'm busy or whatever. But I believe with all my heart that we're coming into a place of a new thing. I believe that there's revelation happening in the body of Christ. And we're shaken free from all the world's entanglements. That we are saying, here am I. We're the special forces team of the kingdom. We are the special worker bees for God. And we will say, here am I. I will go. Amen? One by one, we're saying, I will go. And don't you know that that is just bringing the kingdom further and further into the world today. Somebody was already talking about, you know, in 2020 it's predicted that the world will be saturated with information about the gospel. And that's one of the things. So anyway, are you ready? Here comes the lab. Here's a gentleman praying with someone, sharing the kingdom with, it looks like someone looks like they might be a street person or something like that. So are you ready for the lab? Are you ready to practice? Yeah? Let's do it. All right, we're going to have a little lab here. We're going to practice what we're learning.